Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Does it get?
When you're ready, boys.
Right, gentlemen. It's been a week of some huge atrocities. Like Wasps' new kit. So
Wasps' new kit.
So we need some light in the darkness, and that's where we come in. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
It's the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, but we are here every single week while all those other rugby broadcasters, journalists and so-called podcasters...
Charlatans, Tim.
Exactly.
Charlatans.
While they're all on the beach or, I don't know, just having a San Miguel somewhere in Spain, then we are here talking rugby. That's how much we love the game. I'm Tim. He's JB.
Hello, Tim.
That is Phil.
Hello, Tim.
This week we have got... we're going to be talking about Kyle Eastmond and the unexpected move. We'll be talking about Super Rugby. There's a stash watch. There's a sevens team of back row players you've been helping us compile. And there's loads of other stuff as well. We'll be taking a close look at Bath and Leicester this week as we... judge how teams have done in the off-season and what their fortunes might be for the forthcoming season. How's pre-season training going in your coaching role, Jay?
In my new club, Didsbury Rugby Club.
Yeah.
It's going really well, actually. Got a good bunch of boys. They work very hard. I mean, that's the thing. And it's nice. I mean, we've got a director of rugby at Didsbury, who might actually pass a CRB check. So overall, it's going really, really well.
It's a big improvement from your last place, then.
Yes, massive improvement. Well, I'm not saying he wouldn't pass a CRB check, but I certainly wouldn't be putting money on it.
Oh my word! Right, please leave a review on iTunes. We don't ask for any money or anything, but just a moment of your time to leave a review on iTunes, like some of these. This is from Draywad, who says more. this is from the Fun Bus, sorry, I beg your pardon, who left a 5-star review saying, more intriguing than Ellis Genge's reasons for leaving Bristol and more valuable than the Stuart Barnes autobiography. Thank you very much for that review.
So we're very intriguing, but not very valuable.
Well, we could be anywhere from 1p upwards, 2p upwards in terms of value,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, so we're better than minimum value.
Yeah. Yes.
Superb.
Yeah. And this one from Boney82 says, I would like to submit a complaint.
Uh-oh.
It was a 5-star review.
Oh, thank God.
The quality of this podcast is so high, I forget I'm not part of the chat. Sometimes I want to interject an opinion, maybe to tell Tim or Phil to shut up or remind JB that he's Welsh. I can't because I'm not there.
I think we should start taking phone calls.
Oh, I'd love to.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should get some Skype callers in.
Well, I was thinking about this. We could set up like a WhatsApp group, and then you can do WhatsApp calls, or you could just like record something on your phone and
send it through.
Send
email
it through WhatsApp on WhatsApp
for listeners. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, who we kind of, this is just us making up things as we go along here, in order to influence what we put on the show for the next week, and then we clear them all out for that week, and then we put more in, depending on who wants to be on it from Twitter and stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. We could have there is ways to have a... Sorry, this is really boring. there is ways, like the radio station Virgin that I work for, they have a WhatsApp group.
You work for Virgin?
I do, actually.
You never mention it.
No, thanks, Jay. But they have a WhatsApp group, and it's not like where everyone can see everyone's. It's a great, easy way to send stuff in.
Okay.
And then if we wanted to broadcast out like a Bosch, new podcast is up, or here's something special, or here's a little treat, here's a picture of Phil.
Ellis Gens getting kicked out of Bristol.
then we could do that. Anyway, we'll look into that and get back to you.
Yeah, okay.
But at Rugby Podcast for now, you can get in touch with us on Twitter, leave a review on iTunes, and thank you very, very much. We had lots of chat about... Let's get... Oh, no, actually, before we get on to... What's-his-face? Kyle Eastmond.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Cornerstone very briefly. Lots more people have been showing their shaft.
Loads more.
Sending their picture in on Twitter of their brand new Cornerstone shaft. So the deal is, it's dead simple. It is the number one razor on the market. Fact. Don't ask us. Ask GQ, who put Cornerstone number one razor in its class. Better than Wilkinson Sword. Better than Gillette. And the cool thing is, because you listen to us, that means you can get your first order from as little as £4. And with your first order with Cornerstone, you will get a free engraved aluminium precision engineered German shaft. It's top notch. So £4, as little as £4, get your free shaft. Give it a go. We think you'll love it. There's no obligation whatsoever. So if you don't, well, it costs you £4 and you've got yourself a brand new razor shaft, and you can also sample the best razor on the market. So
exactly.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg 10 at checkout.
Kyle Eastmond, who saw that coming?
Not us. None of us, which a lot of people have been very quick to point out on Twitter.
Yeah, rightly so.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. because we said the last few weeks, oh, done deal, isn't it? It's all over. It's a when, not an if he gets announced as a sale signing.
It's a weird one because we thought it was a done deal. And the only time I've heard it isn't a done deal is from actual sale players themselves. They are the only people that have actually said, this is not a done deal.
Yeah, because everyone else was just going along as if, it hadn't quite been made official, but it was already in the bank.
Yeah.
Catalan Cockney on Twitter got in touch at Rugby Podcast and said, maybe sales ground is so difficult to find, some of their new signings are turning up at Wasps.
That is a strong possibility.
Yeah. Alistair Lees has a different theory. He says, hi, at Rugby Podcast, maybe this is just cutting out the middleman, since sale to Wasps is a well-trodden path of late.
Very good.
And lots of people are questioning, how are Wasps affording this? Because there's an embarrassment of riches in their back line now.
Exactly right.
Well, they have got an embarrassment of riches in the back line, but there's still a few question marks over their squad, more in the forward than anything.
Yeah. And also, I'm not entirely sure they've bought that well, to be fair. I mean, I think you can have one Maverick. You can't have a whole back line of Mavericks.
Well, yeah, when you're... 10, 12, 13, at least one of your wingers, okay. Probably both of your wingers are Mavericks.
Let's flip it the other way around, okay? Give me their solid player, as in the guy in the back line who's super solid with good hands, good feet, but like the guy who plays the percentages. Just, I'm trying to think of like...
Robson at nine, if he retains the starting nine shirt.
I mean, what I'm talking about is like, imagine...
If everything's going wrong, you've got a Mr. Dependable. He won't do anything incredible, but he'll do everything right.
Yeah.
A Jamie Roberts. Someone like that. Someone who just does the basics of his position. Is there anyone?
I can't think of one.
Miller and Robson. At 9 and 15, the kind of bookends of...
See, I kind of think Robson is a bit of a flair player. He likes to run with the ball. He likes to chip and chase. He does.
He's just a very good all-round player.
He is very good.
The rest of them, though...
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
They'll score a lot of tries, I think.
They're going to score a lot. They're going to concede a lot. I think the whole thing could just implode.
It'll be exciting. It'll be very exciting.
When everybody's fit, who's their first choice back line?
Well, this is the problem. When everyone's fit, I'm not even sure that these players make a back line.
Well, first choice would be Robson or Simpson.
Robson or Simpson.
1A, 1B.
Sippers with Gopeth on the bench.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's madness. See, Gopeth is the only guy on there who's really dependable.
He's definitely more dependable than Sippers.
Sippers played that role for Sale, though, didn't he?
He did.
He did much more of the practical stuff. He kicked more than any other fly half. He did a lot more of the practical stuff than the flair stuff, but he did have that in his locker as well.
Yeah, but also, the consequence of him not doing that is a week with Dimes. Now, I don't think he has that pressure at Wasps.
So outside him, you'd have Kirtley Beale, because I think they have brought him in as a 12 rather than a 15.
Okay.
With Elliot Daly, Wade and Halai, and then Miller
So that's a lot of money to spend on a substitute.
Well, he their won't be bench, a substitute for the first 6 months.
Yeah, and their bench is frightening.
Yeah, Simpson, Eastman, Gopeth.
Or Miller, like Eastman or Miller, because you could have Kirtley Beale as fullback.
I can see it's been like some almighty fudge, okay? With Cipriani appearing at fullback in times of season. With, I mean, how do you play Kirtley Beale and Cal Eastman? Do you push one out to 13? Then what about Elliot Daly? I think they're almost relying on players getting injured.
You play KB at 10, possibly, but.
Or Kirtley Beale at 15.
Yeah.
Sippers. There's just so many options.
I know, it's crazy.
But options. Not solid options. I don't think they have an out-and-out solid 12, including Beale.
I think Beale is now an out-and-out 12. The Tars won Super Rugby with Beale as a 12.
Hmm.
And he's a lot more stable and solid than he was in 2013. That doesn't mean that he's the most solid and stable 12, but he's more solid than he was in
than
the
he
past.
Used to be.
Yes.
Angus McIntosh, like a lot of people have made the point about the salary cap and stuff. I think it's gone up 1.4 million and they've added an extra marquee player. So, and I think Wasps, because of the change of ownership, had to display their financial records, and they were calling for all clubs to open their books and show their financial records. So I think it's legit. But a lot of people have had a bit of fun, including I tweeted on our account having a little joke about the Wasps accountants being top-notch and everything. Angus McIntosh said they just matched the Bath contract, which was £8 and a packet of Haribo per season, but the wife gets paid £250,000 as a car park attendant.
Very good.
And Ian at Rugby Podcast, I'm certain his wife is on the books as a £600,000 salaried cleaner on a 0 hours contract.
Interestingly, if you'd have stayed at Bath, you'd be the highest paid player.
Yeah, we heard this from you.
So
that's interesting.
It's massively interesting because what money are they offering, and what's the structure of this deal? Is it like a 1 year mega deal, and then next year they'll renegotiate? I can't imagine what they've done to get him there.
Phil, I'm thinking, mate, if you can get your shoulder fighting fit, you could offer your services to Bath. You played wing. You can step in and play the odd game at centre if need be.
Yeah,
played a bit of
inside centre in my time.
They are threadbare.
I would certainly be a better inside centre than Rhys Priestland, who's one of their potential options.
I know.
Again, this is interesting, isn't it? Because Rhys Priestland only played 10 by accident. He's not even a 10. All right, one day, he was warming up for Wales at 15, due to start at 15. Someone gets injured, couldn't tell you who. They move him into 10. He has a game of his life, and then he becomes a Grand Slam winning 10. And from then on, he's always kind of dabbled at 10. Well, you know, he's always played 10.
Yeah.
12? Can you imagine him playing 12?
Against Jamie Roberts or Tuilagi or Liotta or Sacchino or any other 12 who is kind of the stereotypical 12 needs to be over 100 kg, needs to be a direct runner, but who can also have a bit of hands and kick a little bit.
The guy that we watched this weekend, for instance, imagine Priestland defending a channel against Rohan Jesse von Randsburg, or whatever his
Rohan
name is.
Rohan Janssen von... His
countryman Jamie Roberts would be licking his lips.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
With that matchup.
Very much so. And you often get back rows running in the outside 10 into the 12 channel. Yeah, I don't think that's a particularly good option.
No, it's odd. Well, we'll talk more about Bath when we go into depth on them and Leicester, as we will do later. We'll come back around to that. Loads to talk about. But you guys watched plenty of the Super Rugby over the weekend.
We did.
All of it, except for the Brumbies game.
Oh, good work.
Yeah, Brumbies, which was 8:30 on the Friday in work, unfortunately. Selfish scheduling from Sanzar.
Did Pocock play in that?
He did. He did play.
Yeah, brilliant.
He didn't make the difference, unfortunately. It was 2-0 to the Highlanders. I think it was probably both scoreline and in the actual terms of the game, it was the closest game of the weekend. But Highlanders, who were last year's champions and have been performing better than Brumbies all season, came out on top.
I don't know what to make of this weekend in terms of rugby. I don't know if the league is super competitive or super uncompetitive, or the guys who play at the highest standard are just that much better than everyone else. I just can't make it out. There's two quarterfinals, and they didn't deserve to be called quarterfinals. They're an embarrassment to the game. The Stormers losing by 60 points is pathetic.
At home.
And the Sharks lost by 40, is it?
Getting nilled as well.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's the first. I think it's the first ever team to get nilled in the quarterfinal,
and it's the first time that the Hurricanes have ever nilled another team in Super Rugby.
That's incredible.
Ever, I mean, and they do it in a quarterfinal.
I don't know what to make of it. I don't know. Maybe the New Zealand team's all that good.
I think it's partly the New Zealand teams are good, and partly the conference system doesn't help. And I'll tell you why I say that. The Stormers, who faced the Chiefs at home, that was the first time they played a New Zealand team this year.
Is it right?
Yeah. Wow. So they played, that was their 16th game of the season, and they've not until that game faced a New Zealand team. And the New Zealand teams do play a different style of rugby to everyone else. We spoke yesterday, Jay, about the looking to bend the gain line and then start offloading.
Yes.
And it's a different way that a lot of teams play. Yeah. And the Chiefs are one of the best at doing
it. And it's definitely the way that New Zealand teams are playing. It's definitely, they just kind of get over it and they offload. I think they've given up like trying to do it the conventional way.
Yeah, so having an 18-team league obviously has its challenges, but to not face a single New Zealand team in 15 games just can't be right.
I just hope that South African rugby kind of reinvents itself, or someone reinvents it. Do you know, like, New Zealanders have reinvented it now for this awesome skill-based game? Like, it looks like they're playing a different sport to everyone else. I hope someone comes back with something like the antithesis of it, boring, kicking to the corners, grinding rugby, nilling teams.
Well, both the Sharks and Stormers try and do a bit of that unsuccessfully.
No, I want them to do it successfully.
The Lions, on the other hand, they don't try and do that. They've got an incredible defence and they can play a bit.
Yeah, they can play. And all of their players, have you seen the Lions yet this year, Tim?
Yeah.
I have seen them. This is like my second or third time watching them. And the first time watching them and actually caring and seeing what they do. And they're very, very impressive. They play from everywhere. They almost attack like a New Zealand side, I guess. There's lots of offloading. They're very, very direct. Oh, and they've got a centre. Now, I've mentioned his name already, and you're going to hear a lot more of him.
You've incorrectly mentioned his name once already.
Rohan.
Jesse.
Janse.
Oh,
Janzi.
Janzi.
Von Rensburg. This kid's a stud. Absolute stud.
He's a thoroughbred 12. If you're drawing it, like, putting the blueprints together for a 12, particularly a South African 12,
he's what you want. When I look at South Africa, you say so they need to reinvent themselves. They've got some awesome young players. Like, Andre Pollard at 10, and this guy has a total, like, classic 12.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. And that's not including, you know, all the other guys coming through, like Jesse Creel's only got a handful of caps. But there again, you've got, I can't say his name, is it? What's the guy on the wing?
Combrink.
You've got the black winger on the other side who is just electric. They're just a very good team. Oh, although, Faf de Klerk. Let's mention something about him. This guy deserves to be binned.
It just sounds rude, doesn't it?
It does. But I am amazed he spends so much time actually on the field. All he does is knock on balls.
He goes for ludicrous intercepts all the time.
It's illegal. What he does is purely illegal. He should be in the bin 90% of the time.
So shall we briefly run through the game? We've kind of roundabout gone through all of them, but shall we briefly run from Saturday morning, Hurricanes versus the Sharks.
Yep.
In some of the most horrendous conditions so bad, I thought I was watching a Friday night Aviva Premiership game.
Pro 12 game, because there's no one watching.
Or Pro...
I tell you what.
Premiership game conditions with the Pro 12 crowd.
Yeah, no, I might whinge about Pro 12 crowds. Super Rugby is nothing to shout about. There's hardly anyone watching the Lions.
Yeah.
In fact, almost every stadium was empty. I don't know what the Brumbies game was like.
Hey, well, listen.
Free meat pies in the Brumbies game.
Yeah, there were. Oh, just by the way, you mentioned Pro 12.
Shocking.
Have you heard the rumour about a US franchise?
I have heard the rumour.
We have.
Yeah. That's what I think. That's going to bring the crowds in and get the money up. It'll be Newport Gwent Dragons host the Denver... whatever they're called.
I think we went with Denver Stoners last time, didn't we?
Denver Stampede.
Shall we
round up the
Super Rugby? Yeah, let's just
do that.
Yeah,
come back to the
Super. Well, no, we don't need to talk about that. It's as you want to.
Okay.
Well, it's fine. You just mentioned it. I thought it just reminded me. So yes, Super Rugby.
So the Canes,
your beloved horrendous, Canes.
Yes,
my beloved Canes.
Horrendous conditions. In the first 5 minutes, it was pretty even, and I thought, God, the Sharks could cause an upset here with this condition, with their big pack, and then the Canes' skills, basic skills, 1-15, were just so much better, so much more they just made it look so much easier. Their decision making and the way that Beauden Barrett controlled the game and kicked the corners at the right time, played at the right time, and they just
But they're not just better, are they? This is what really annoys me. They're not just better. It's like the way their skills are. They're not. They just handle around people and pass around people. TJ Perenora bumped someone off. He just
it was his opposite man.
I don't care. He just ran over him like he wasn't there.
No, but everything is better. What I like about watching the Canes and New Zealand teams overall is, yes, physically they're developed and everything, but more than anything, much like when the reason I loved Andy Goode coming back and playing and looking out of shape and still playing brilliantly is rugby has developed this thing with professionalism where you create gym monkeys who don't. Who aren't thinkers? The kind of everyone wants to be Haskell, just spend all time doing deadlifts and.
The problem is with this theory, and I do. I like what you're saying. It's about skills and having Andy Goodbuck shows you can, you know, you can play the game without being a gym monkey. But that just doesn't translate into this New Zealand team. TJ Perenora monstered his way through. Beauden Barrett. Is actually quite a big lad. Is it
No, he's not.
He's the one that's absolutely jacked.
Beauden Barrett's not. He's really light.
No, there is a picture of him coming out the gym, and one of them looks absolutely massive.
Barrett's tall and he's very fast, but he's not. He's not enormous.
I'd say Beauden Barrett's the perfect example of what I'm talking about. His basic skills are incredible.
He is a good example.
I think it's Slade, actually.
Slade, who's now at POW.
Beauden Barrett topless. Let's see what this brings up. You guys carry on chatting.
Okay, so the Canes.
That's not Beauden Barrett.
Canes destroyed the Sharks. Then we had the Lions versus the Crusaders, which was a great game, 42-25. And you kind of felt like the Crusaders were in it for most of the game, even though the Lions were ahead for most of the game. And then the last 20 minutes, Lions just pulled away. Some tries through force, some tries through skill. Great handling from the backs. And they look the real deal.
I think we called it that we would have. We called all the results, didn't we? We said the Lions would sneak it.
I think I might have gone for a. Just because of a. I'd quite like to see a four New Zealand teams. I think I might have gone for Crusaders. But we weren't far off.
Yeah, I'm glad that, the Lions are through. In fact,
it's not hard to pick, is it?
No.
It's like going, who's going to win Ulster or Zebre? Although, didn't Zebre beat them earlier this season?
I think it might have been last season, as in two seasons ago. And then the final game, Stormers versus Chiefs. It was 60 points to 21, but the Chiefs did score three converted tries in the last 5 minutes. So it was made to look even worse than it actually was. But the Chiefs were just all round a better team. I mean, they started with three playmakers on the pitch because they had Cruden, McKenzie at 15, who is just class.
He is, isn't he? He definitely fits the model of what you're saying to him, of a guy who's just skills.
Yeah.
Pure skills.
He's tiny. He's 80 kg.
Pathetic.
For me, the best...
Maggot.
I mean, I know McCall was amazing, but for me, the best player in the last sort of 10, 15 years for... New Zealand was Conrad Smith. It's like a Rolls Royce player.
Yeah,
I mean, he's strong. He's like one of those. He had that like mute strength. Like he didn't look like he was
someone who can't talk.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It didn't look like he was strong, but he was like farmer strength. But yeah, just class.
Yeah, he was class.
Well, I'm going through lots of pictures of topless New Zealand fly halves. Sadly, I can't find the picture I'm looking for. But there's one picture, and it's shared to you and I, of some of the All Blacks squad coming out of the gym, and is either Barrett or Slade, who looked absolutely enormous. But never mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't say either. The biggest New Zealand fly half in terms of actual size is probably Gopperth, although he's obviously never been capped by New Zealand. He is a big boy.
So what are the semi-final matchups? Do they have a rest week and then play, or
no? Straight into it? No, I'm pretty sure it's straight into it.
Meat grinder.
It is.
But they've got to get it done because Tri Nations suit. Quad Nations.
Ah, now you mentioned Grindr, the gay dating app, right?
Yeah.
Glad you mentioned this. So, and you also mentioned about how is it going with my new club? Obviously, these two things synergy.
Yep.
I had an idea the other day, and tell me if I'm mad or not. But I was talking to the ladies' captain, Okay, and she mentioned...
Where is this going?
Yeah, she mentioned she knew most of the Didsbury rugby players through Tinder before she even came on the club. Because, yeah, seen him. And it made me think, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do this or not. I have spoke to my wife about doing it, but, you know, let's see. Setting up a profile on Tinder in order to try and attract rugby players down to Talk H like a honey trap.
So wait, you pick a profile of a hot girl.
Yes.
You get that, you match with them.
Correct.
You then say, meet me at this place.
Yeah, and it
Digby Talk H Rugby Club on a Tuesday night. Bring your boots.
Exactly.
Now, then you can say, show me a picture of you coming out of the gym. No, you're a weed. Get out of my.
Exactly right. And see, the profile, I don't know what is on Tinder if you get some information. I know you get a picture and you match. Okay, I know that much. I don't know what the other information is. So,
well, it's how far away you are.
Do you get height?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, but do you get height and weight?
Height and weight. Yeah, if I can get height and weight,
because that's
be great.
Key for rugby players.
And I'll tell you the other thing as well.
I don't think they'll find anything suspicious when your opening question is, what position do you play in rugby?
Well, I'm sure I could pay a model to wear like rugby kit so it looked like she was really into rugby. Like, she really is into rugby. And then depending on what I need for various weeks, say if we're short of a hooker, she's really into hookers. And, you know, it'd just be dead obvious.
I'm thinking we could do this as a way to find new listeners as well.
I'm not gonna lie, I've thought about it.
Yeah. There was talk, I know that they were so desperate before the referendum that some of the government's money which they were using to vote to try and convince people to vote for Remain, as well as that leaflet, that contentious leaflet that went through everyone's door, there was also they spoke to the Lad Bible about doing stuff, and they also,
yes, I heard that,
and they also did a Tinder advert.
Wow.
To try and reach young people.
I don't think it was young people they really needed to reach, was it?
Well,
it was,
only 38% of them came bothered to get out to vote.
They're all crying in their tents in Glastonbury.
Crying into their Pokemon Go.
What was this status I read the other day on Twitter? The people whinging about Remain or whatever are now the same generation playing Pokemon Go.
Yes. Running around catching invisible monsters.
joy.
Anyway, does Tinder have some kind of like... NFL combine draft system where you can see their 40-yard dash, their 220-pound bench press, their vertical leap, that kind of thing?
Well, what we need is some girls that are into this, so lads start posting that.
Yeah.
Yes. So what we need is some of the CrossFit girls.
If you're a girl and you think you can help us with this and lend us your Facebook profile, please get in touch and we'll see if we can start recruiting listeners for the podcast and players for Didsbury.
Yeah, so what you do is you'll meet people on Tinder and then let's take it to a Snapchat account where you can then say, right, I want a video of you doing a cone sprint drill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pretend that that's what really gets you off. That's what really turns me on.
Yeah. Hey, sweetheart, do you have a couple of cones? Would you mind putting them 10 yards apart? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I'd really like to see a video of you bench pressing 220 pounds to failure.
Yeah, this is
six
something we need to investigate.
What the? Get out of here.
Yeah, we need to investigate this further.
Yeah, we do. So what are the semi-finals, Philip?
Oh, I'm glad we're onto that. So, Saturday morning, 8:35, my beloved Canes host the Chiefs.
He's always said that. I mean, if you've been listening since the start of the podcast, you'll know how much Phil goes on about these beloved Canes.
Oh, he loves
Canes.
The Canes. He really does.
I really got into the Canes last season when they were by far the best team in the league, but then ended up somehow losing it in the final to the Highlanders, which I'm fully expecting again this year, to be honest. So Canes host the Chiefs. Now, this is a hell of a matchup.
What a matchup.
Oh, I don't know which way this is going to go. So Canes, obviously, they've played at home, they've stayed at home. Chiefs have the obvious flight over to South Africa at short notice and then back to New Zealand and then the journey to Wellington. So I'm going to go with home advantage.
I say Lions-Chiefs final.
So you're going for Chiefs in that and then, the other matchup. So the Highlanders obviously travelled over to the Brumbies, which is a relatively short flight for Super Rugby, and now they're travelling to Joburg to face the Lions, and the Lions, who were brilliant against the Crusaders.
They were great.
They scored 40-odd points, but more impressive than their attack was their defence at times.
Yeah.
Because there was...
Janzi van Rensburg's going to run all over them.
What's particularly impressive about them is that, weren't they like one of the bottom teams last season?
Yeah, so they've been relegated before, okay?
Yeah.
Were they even in it last season?
Yes, they were. But in the past, they've played off with the Southern Kings.
That's right.
Yeah. And they lost, so they got relegated. But actually, I don't know this from watching. I have no idea. I listened to it via the commentators. They've been very good in the Currie Cup. So this isn't a massive surprise to people who watch South African rugby and enjoy it.
Okay.
Okay.
But it is to us, because we know nothing about it.
Yeah. And kind of now we're getting to know a lot of the players, but...
Yeah, I mean
at the start of the season...
Warren Whiteley, who?
Yeah, Combrink, Mapoe,
yeah,
Fafter Klerk. I think Whiteley was the only person I'd actually heard of, just looking across the squad. Elton Yantis as well.
Yeah. Did he play somewhere else for a while? I seem to think he did.
Yeah, Stormers, and then in Japan. So Lions, Stormers, played in Japan, and then back to the Lions.
Interesting.
So
I think two home wins. Highlanders.
Highlanders are probably a bit less flair than the other teams, other New Zealand teams. But in terms of grinding out and getting the results, they're very, very good. I'm also going to go for two home wins. The travel on the Highlanders is tough.
Is the final neutral venue, or is it at the highest ranked team's place?
Good question.
Well, which we can find
good
out.
Question,
we'll find that
unknown.
Out. We'll find that out.
Yes.
So, right, cool. Well, there you go. We've had previous criticism in the past from people listening in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, complaining that
I imagine that criticism is going to continue after that breakdown.
Well, at least it was a good effort.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, there's one little funny interlude. I love parody accounts and funny rugby accounts. So
I think I know where you're going with this one.
We've talked at length about Lendrid, at Stuff Ben Said on Twitter, which was Tom Croft and...
Allegedly
Tom Croft and George Shooter. They've never publicly admitted to it, but it's thought to be Tom Croft and George Shooter documenting the things that Ben Young says. Things like Tom Young saying, "My dog's going to have puppies." Then Ben Young saying, "Who's the father?" Tom says, "A Polish dog." And Ben Young says, "Oh no, how will they talk to each other?"
What?
Yep. And he also said, "Oh, USA, home of the land." So Bogus Bruce, or the what's that Bruce Craig one called?
This isn't where I thought you were
not
going.
Not Bogus Bruce. I think I'll end up where you're talking about in a minute. What's the Bogus Bruce one? Like Bruce of Bath.
Bruce of Bath, yeah.
Yeah. Because you were talking about New Zealand. His tweet, so parody Bruce Craig's tweet, was cracking Kiwi road trip, zorbing, whale watching, bungee jumping, glacier abseiling. I'm sure there was something else we needed to do, .. But then the Dimes parody account, is that where you think we're thinking I was going?
It is exactly where I thought it was going to go.
I love this one, which is Diamond Geezer.
Isn't it I Am Dimes or something? It's not Diamond Geezer. Because Diamond Geezer is what we labelled him after we went to watch him and the Geezers.
Diamond something, anyway. Just call me George Osborne. Building a northern powerhouse through austerity, with austerity and a budget surplus for my 950 fellow directors.
What a guy.
Just one of his recent updates, which I quite like.
Just going on from it kind of links the two things together, the Bruce Craig parody and the Super Rugby.
Mm.
Todd Blackout had the Crusaders are out.
Yep.
He's now potentially free to
fly over.
Yeah, take over the reins at Bath. Any more details? Anything confirmed yet?
Nothing confirmed. Well, it's as on as we thought Kyle Eastman to sail was on, so that means nothing at the minute.
We have no idea, do we?
We have no idea. We think that that's the way it's going, but who knows? Bath need to sort that out bloody quickly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe by the time this podcast's out, like you say, maybe a Monday morning announcement is what Bath will do. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, that would make sense, actually. Now, particularly now that Crusaders are gone.
Hmm. We will see. And one funny other funny interlude. Did you see the Nigel Owens tweet?
Yes,
I did.
So
yes,
we get quite a lot of these standard tweets from bots on Twitter, just trying to clickbait.
Oh, I've got a great one for you.
Picture of a woman in a bikini.
That's gone.
Going, click on my account. So Nigel Owens received a tweet, which he retweeted with a comment underneath, and it was from someone called Cindy Spears, which is just a bot. Says, hello friend, find the link on my account and I show you my nude breasts. And then Nigel Owens' reply was, there's no point showing them to me, my lovely. You could cover them in cream and hundreds and thousands and it would make no difference. I imagine him saying that like he was on a rugby pitch going, now, back 10, off you go. Block. Good work.
Yes.
Good work.
Very good.
Right, where do you want to go now? Sevens?
Well,
teams.
You did touch on the Pro 12 stuff. You've got the Wasps kit.
We've got a little quiz.
Should we do a quiz first?
Let's do a quiz.
Okay.
Oh, let's do a quiz. What you got, Phil?
What have I got? Seven questions.
Novel.
Pens and paper ready.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to use my phone, but you trust me.
I do.
We trust you implicitly, Tim. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
When you want, mate.
First question. Name the Northern Hemisphere team that Todd Blackadder has both played for and coached.
Okay, easy. Next.
Okay.
Question two. Who did Sergio Parisi...
Wait.
So you say next and
no,
then...
No, I just haven't written it down.
Okay.
Okay, next.
Next. Who did Sergio Parisi play for before Stade Francais?
That's a good question. That is a good question. Don't know. Okay, next.
Okay.
Who captained the Sharks against the Hurricanes on Saturday?
Sharks, you say?
Yes.
Who what, sorry?
Who captained the Sharks against the Hurricanes on Saturday?
Oh no. Oh no, it's not him.
Okay, next.
Next question.
Yeah.
There's 3 points available for this. I don't expect you to get all three.
Okay, are we?
Name Bill Beaumont's opposing captains on his 14-year run on Question of Sport.
Good God.
There were three opposing captains during his tenure.
I don't even remember him being on Question of Sport.
1 point. Do you not?
No.
There's one that was for a very long period of time. There's one that I remember, the other two I don't.
I'm getting hammered here.
I think the other two were actually before I was born.
Well, we were born like 1 year apart.
Yeah.
So I meant to remember this.
No, you meant to get one. I remember one of them, and that's what I'm expecting you to get.
I've got a funny feeling I might have all three.
If you get all three,
you've won this.
I used to love a question of sport. It was like my whole family would sit down and watch that every. It used to be on a Thursday night.
How come you don't win more quizzes than Tim?
It used to be on 7:30.
Slightly different questions to the one that we have.
It was the only TV that my mum could get us all to sit down and watch it as a family. And even she used to get so fed up with the rest of us. She was, you know, there's three men and males and her. And she used to say, sometimes she'd say at dinner, right, this meal, we're not going to talk about sport. We're not going to talk about rugby. And it was just silent. The whole meal was silent.
Nice weather.
Yes.
How's family? We're all here. just going back to the question of sport. When I used to watch it, you know, the video one where you see all the clips, you find yourself looking not at the sport, but like how many seagulls are in the background.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
What colour is the flag?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with sport, actually.
We went to watch an episode getting filmed, didn't we, a couple of years back?
Yeah, they moved us right to the back, weirdly, and put some girls in front of us. right, next question, because I'm not getting any of them. Not one.
Not one?
Not one, not a single one.
Disappointing. Okay, next question. The principles of which religion is Johnny Wilkinson reported to follow?
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, okay. That's fairly straightforward.
Just going to have a guess with that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Question six.
Yeah.
Name, what are the two former names of Edinburgh rugby?
Ooh. Well, I know one of them.
Okay. Definitely got one.
And final. There's 5 points available for this.
Ooh, wow. Mm-hmm. This could be a game changer.
List the Australian Super Rugby teams from most northerly to most southerly.
I have no idea the geography of Australia. Zero. So...
Okay.
No, no, no. Yeah, maybe.
It's five, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh dear.
You got something written down, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. First question.
Yeah.
Todd Blackadder.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Is correct.
Written down there.
Yeah, he was assistant coach. He played there for a couple of years and was assistant coach. Do you know what position he was?
Six or second row?
Yeah.
Six, second row, yeah. Yeah. Parisier?
I wrote down Treviso because it was the...
I put down Treviso as well. I was thinking of a Roni because Zebra weren't around the day, but I'm also thinking it might have been like an Argentine team, like the Navy or something.
You're both correct. 2 points each.
Nice.
Okay.
Who captained the Sharks against the Hurricanes?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I was going to guess, but every time I had a guess, I came out with Stormers players, so...
I didn't even put a guess.
It was Tendai Matawari.
Oh, the I beast. Knew that! I saw him bloody interviewed!
The Beast.
Oh, what an idiot!
So, 2 points each.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, so Jay...
Not a single captain from Question Sport.
Okay, Tim, go for your most confident...
Two, I'm completely confident about.
Okay.
Emeline Hughes.
Is correct.
Ian Botham.
Is correct.
Oh, Botham maybe.
And the other one I went for, Willie Carson.
Is correct.
Get it!
It's over.
Very good. Unless your geography is horrendous, Tim. Very, very impressive. So that takes it to 5-2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then Johnny Wilkinson's religious principles.
Right, okay. It has to be Buddhism.
Buddhism.
It has to be, right?
Buddhism,
but
down.
I'm not going to say Buddhism.
Okay.
Because I've already lost it, and I really want him to be a Scientologist. I think he'd fit in well with that crowd.
You could see him and Tom Cruise getting well together, couldn't you?
So, remove Buddhism from my list. I'm going Scientology.
That makes it 6-2 to Tim.
Okay.
Buddhism was correct.
Damn it!
Edinburgh Rugby.
Gunners.
Gunners and Reavers.
Oh, no border. Reavers,
that
was border,
the border
Reavers.
Reavers. I've got Gunners.
I think it's with the castle. I'm going to say the. I don't know. I mean, Gunners is Seven Sisters, isn't it? So, the capitals? I don't know.
Another 2 points for Tim. Reavers is correct.
What?
They were called, for a period of time, the Edinburgh Reavers.
Oh, they were border Reavers.
Wow. All right, I'll take that. So, it's 8-3.
Yeah.
So you with can the draw. Final,
you can draw you can if Tim draw. Gets non-correct.
So shall I give you the order of
yes,
mine?
Yes, please.
North to south.
Yes, and I'll tell you each one when if you're correct or not.
Okay, Brumbies.
Incorrect.
It's Queensland.
Waratahs.
So they're not number two?
They're not number two. Reds, number three?
No.
Nope.
Force, number four?
No.
Rebels, number five?
You got 1 point. You got just enough.
Right, okay, just so I have got Queensland.
Queensland Reds, correct. Based in Brisbane.
This is a difficult one, though.
Yes, this is the most difficult one, I think.
Oh, yeah, Brisbane's high.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to... Canterbury. Okay, it's Waratahs.
Incorrect.
No!
Oh!
It's Brumbies, Waratahs, Rebels, Force.
No.
Well, Force, sorry. Force
Reds.
Rebels.
Reds. Yeah.
No.
Reds.
What? So
we've already said Rebels is last.
Yeah, Rebels is last.
Yeah. Reds are first.
Reds.
Yeah, I've got that.
Then the Force, a second.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah, then the Waratahs.
Oh,
then,
so I've got two.
Then the Brumbies.
Oh, they're all around the
what
south
a
coast.
Terrible, terrible quiz.
Yeah, so
they're all as you
they're
get
the worst
the
quiz
coast.
I've ever heard, quite frankly.
It was just that one question. It was just Queen.
To be fair, Tim, I think it's all the questions in my case. So
I thought it was a good quiz, Phil. I thought it was a fantastic
It's a dreadful quiz.
I think it was a true test of intellect,
yes.
That quiz. That's
one of
I
the
thought.
Best quizzes ever.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, Tim?
Without doubt.
Unbelievable.
Stashwatch.
Yes.
Oh. Some more kits have been unveiled. I think we should like have, there's a bit of a yin and yang about this week's Stashwatch, because on the, you have good and you have really really good and really really bad.
Give me the really good. Let's talk about the really good.
I'd say that is also true within a single team, because in my mind Saracens, their home kit is brilliant.
I think it looks excellent, Saracen stuff.
Their away kit, I'm not a big fan of the red and white.
Well, it's red. Well, red and black, is it?
Or
red,
it's white shorts.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Red.
Well, sure, yeah, it doesn't look good with the white shorts. But what I will say is, Saracens just out of the blue deciding to have a blue kit was odd.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
So at least they've gone back to their club colours.
Yes. That's an improvement.
Their first team kit, we were questioning BLK and what they, and we weren't sure what they'd come up with. And fair play, I think they've done a good job.
Looks very nice. It's a big improvement from last year's.
Yeah.
They've also got a new Connacht kit, which is very nice as well.
Yeah.
Quite traditional, green, obviously, but it looks good.
Okay.
And then, so yeah, well done, Saracens. Like, definitely big double tick on your home jersey. Okay, right colour, maybe better design next year.
Just a point on Saracens, going back to the Super Rugby, we saw two of their new signings in action.
Oh, yes, you're right.
For the Stormers. Probably, arguably, two of the Stormers' best players. Scout Berger was heroic in defeat, and Vincent Koch was superb. When your tight head prop scores two tries in a 60-point loss...
He's quite good.
You know he's doing something right.
You know, well, Ben Kay on Twitter has already had some fun with
how did I know this was coming up?
So you can imagine during those commentaries on BT Sport, we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna have some fun and giggles. You know when you can just sort of hear their shoulders going up and down because they're laughing. So we're gonna have to, Ben Kay will be the one to watch on some cheeky little mention of cock.
My favourite moment from the BT Sport team this year was when Worcester were playing at home, and you know when they pan into the dressing room, the camera pans into the dressing room,
yes!
And there was one of the coaches having a piss in the urinal, and then he just walked out with a newspaper folded under his arm. Very good.
Yeah.
They were cracking up.
That was brilliant.
Right, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the other kits?
Yes.
Let's get through the kits and then let's get on to the one we want to talk about.
Okay.
So Wasps.
The Wasps kit.
The Wasps kit.
Right. So all the other kits are done. We can talk about Wasps. We're not going to be interrupted
pretty
now.
Pretty much. Well,
I can't remember any others this week.
I can't remember. No, Wasps is just dreadful.
Right.
It's a dreadful kit.
How hard can this possibly be? I mean, it puts me on the edge of swearing. I'm so annoyed by it. If you came down from space and you said... design me the Munster kit. You wouldn't have a clue. You'd be like, the Munster, who are they? What do they sound like? What does the word Munster sound like? Does it have a, you know, what is the design? You wouldn't know. You could come out with a green kit and wouldn't blame you. You just wouldn't know what a Munster kit looked like. You wouldn't know what a Bath kit looked like. Yeah. You wouldn't have any idea. If someone tells you design a kit for a team called Wasps, what do you expect?
You'd Google Wasps, you'd see a Wasp.
You would go as far as to Google a Wasp.
if you came down from space, never having seen a Wasp, but you just go, okay, well, tell me, what does Wasp mean? Well, Wasp, well, they're named after an animal. Okay, what does the animal look like?
That.
Well, it's black and yellow
stripes.
Yeah. Striped hoops.
This is unbelievable how badly they've got it wrong. Last year, I let them off, and as Rugby Stashwatch calls it, a sports bra. Yeah, they've got a kind of sports bra look from last year's Under Armour kit. This year is just completely unacceptable.
Well, this time last year, it looked like a bikini.
Yeah.
This one looks like...
What is it?
A sort of...
What have they done?
A tank top you might wear down... I don't know, it just looks like a tank top.
It looks like they're wearing braces.
The worst thing is they're kind of hinting at hoops.
Yeah.
They're hinting that there could be hoops.
They think
that we're trying to cover most of them all.
They think we're absolute morons. They've actually done the hard work. They've recognised that Wasps are black and yellow. Congratulations. And then covered it with a flat white panel.
Now, have you seen this that was tweeted to us by Dougie Andrews?
Yes, I have.
Oh, that's like the...
Which is like the Academy
the Wasps
or...
Academy jersey.
They've even got the... Yeah.
The Academy jersey.
There we are. How old's that?
The Academy jersey is wide black and gold hoops.
I have rooms to be thinner. But that would be perfectly acceptable.
So Under Armour, they do great training gear. They do not do good kits. That is just about the best Under Armour kit I've seen. And it's an Academy kit. We're never going
to
see it.
If you're a Wasps fan, you have to boycott this kit because it's unacceptable in every... these clubs have got, in some cases, in Wasps, it's nearly 100 years worth of history, ruined, trashed by these vandals.
This is it. This is one of those times where you have to, market forces have to come into play here, because there's Wasps are going to be getting people through the turnstiles. They're going to be getting fans buying season tickets. The only way
who's in charge of this? They should be fired.
The only way you're going to show them is to make the effort to demand that the academy kit goes on sale and buy that.
Yes.
And in, otherwise, do not buy the shirt.
But genuinely, how can you call yourself a designer? Right, you've got years of history. You've got an animal like called a wasp. The team is named Wasps. There's two colours, and they should be assembled in hoops. And you come out with this monstrosity.
Well, quite often, right? So
it's awful.
I have. It's a very different experience, but I can imagine what happened here. So quite often, when a client comes to the radio station, they'll say, "Right, we've got this is our budget. This is what message we want to get across." And then I'll go away with my colleagues or whatever, and we'll come up with like three ideas, and we always chuck in, we'll go with two like relatively safe, one really tried and tested bog standard idea, one that's kind of that's a little bit interesting, and then one that's just off the wall, a bit maverick. They never ever pick the off the wall maverick one. They always go for the boring tried and tested one. That's just someone going, well, why don't we just do something different, man? Let's just do something crazy.
Let's just throw it at the wall, see if it sticks.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't stuck.
No.
I honestly feel so strongly about how bad this kit is, because this team is going to be one of the... They're probably going to be one of the top four teams in the entire country. They're going to be in Europe. We're going to have to watch them an awful lot. I've got to watch them in this terrible kit. It's horrific. Do not buy the Wasps kit. If you see someone... Do you know Milo Yiannopoulos?
Who
was? Nero on Twitter. The guy who's just got banned.
Yes.
For like harassing people. If you see someone in this kit, it's your duty to put them onto Twitter, and we should all harass them until they get rid of the kit. That's what we should do. No one should be allowed this kit. It's horrific. Mm.
It's not good. It's really not
just
good.
Just think of that exciting, athletic backline wearing that awful kit.
I can't. It's just distressing. It is. The Bath kit's not been announced yet. Or has it? No, it hasn't. No,
that's happening soon.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Canterbury do with that.
Well, Canterbury have got that long-standing tradition in the game of rugby, and they tend to do very interesting things with the design and the materials or the whatever, but they generally are very traditional.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, me too.
The Wasp kit is just such a waste, isn't it? Black shorts, hooped top, hoop socks, beautiful. They're one of the best kits in Europe when they get it right.
Mm.
I tell you what, someone brought this to my attention. Johnny Films on Twitter.
Yeah.
Sevens, right? Cardiff Blues are playing Newport. Newport are playing in blue. Cardiff are playing in black and amber.
I saw that.
Shoot me. Just shoot me now. The game's over. The game in Wales is over. It's a joke.
Right, let's quickly rattle through a Sevens team of back row players, then we can get into our little close-ups on clubs. Oh, by the way, Tom Tyron on Twitter got in touch and said, been a quiet week for Stuart Lancaster. That was the only surprise about the Sam Allardyce appointment, is that Stuart Lancaster wasn't linked with the job first. Yeah, maybe Lancaster's actually got a job for real, because he's been very, very quiet about possible jobs this week.
First week in a long time with no speculation.
I think he's running out of cash. That's why he's going for every job he can get.
I reckon he's probably still being paid by the RFU.
Wouldn't surprise me. Well, he had
that 6-year.
Yeah. He had a good compromise
with
deal
a break.
With that.
Yeah, with a break clause in it. But there's a 6-year contract signed a year and a half ago.
Yeah, he'll be doing all right.
So yeah, he'll have done okay. Don't worry about Stuart Lancaster.
All right, fine.
Sevens team of back row players then. So we've got that chat with Rob Vickerman. I'll get that for next podcast.
Yes.
That'll be the weekend before the Sevens.
Perfect.
So the Olympic Sevens in Rio is coming up we'll have a special chat next week with Rob Vickerman, former England Sevens player. But we're going through various positions on the field and assembling a Sevens team. If you could only make a Sevens team out of players in those positions, this one I suspect is going to be genuinely pretty awesome. So a back row Sevens team.
I'll kick it off with Tom Croft.
Yes. Fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I like that.
Sinzan Brook.
Oh. What unbelievable skills that man has.
Now, do you reckon it'd be foolish to put P.S. Spiess in there?
No,
he was a genuine winger, wasn't he, at one point?
Yeah.
Well, was he? Because he never really played there.
Well, no, he did play there.
Well, yeah, he played there for a couple of times.
We can only have P.S. Spiess in if they wear, like the Kenyan team does, they wear vest-type shirts and we get to see those arms.
Well, the thing with P.S. Spiess is he's too talented to be any good. And I just think he'll be about as good at sevens as he is at 15. So he'll look the part. Everyone will talk about him running 10.5 and he'll do nothing.
I have a little bit more optimism. He's so fast, so strong, particularly in his day, in his prime. He wasn't very good at 15 because he needed a bit more space to go at. And I think he gets that in sevens.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sergio Parisi. Just again, maybe you'd go back a few years when he was
maybe not quick enough.
We needed a bit more gas, but the skill, him and Zinzabri, because you need a couple of guys sort of in the middle of the pit of the field who sort of link everything together and are the main defensive kind of leaders and get the moves going. And maybe Zinzan and Sergio.
And I can see
Tipperick.
Oh, Tipperick's so good.
Yeah,
I love him as a smooth player.
So two in. Different players, but in similar moulds. So Kieran Reid alongside the Parise mould.
Yeah.
Because there was a period a couple of years ago where we said he could genuinely play outside centre at international level.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I'm still pretty certain he could do. And similar to Tipperick, someone like Hooper or Liam Gill.
Oh, yeah, Liam Gill, yeah.
Liam Gill, who's I can't remember who it was, someone on Twitter sent us a video of him dropping a 45-metre drop goal.
Yeah.
We've all done it, mate.
I can confirm I've never dropped a 45-meter drop goal.
Have you ever attempted a drop goal in a match?
I don't think I have, other than in sevens where you drop your kicks. I'm not very good at doing that with no pressure on me. So
have I ever done it? No, I don't think I have. Maybe I have. No, I haven't.
I think I've tried, but I've never scored. Nope.
Another couple of South Africans.
Fire away.
Warren Whiteley.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, he's got some good gas. And Kankowski.
Oh, good shout. Well done.
Sevens, I like those long, rangy players, can do little offloads round the back.
Yeah.
Now, are we in danger of upsetting the nation of Fiji again by not mentioning their back row players?
Possibly.
So should we just say generically all Fijian back row players?
Any Fijian back row apart from Akapusi Kwera?
Well, there was a Fijian national who played for England Sevens a few years ago. Damu, was it?
Oh, yes.
He played for England Sevens.
Did he?
Yeah, I played with him at Newbury, and then he was in the army.
He was an army boy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Have we covered most of the people? James Forrester, who I'd put in almost every team.
Oh, yeah, way back.
And Simon Taylor, who I think was a superb player back in the day. Athletic, big, great hands.
Yeah.
What I like about this is that there's some back row players, and we've gone for the players which have those rugby brains and rugby hands, which I think is really important in sevens. I think we'll see that in the sevens. It's not about just about gas.
No.
Smart, identifying where space is, when to use it.
There's times where out-and-out gas is important,
yeah,
but it's not all the time.
Hence Ngwenya.
Yeah,
well,
and hence Perry Baker.
Has Ngwenya ever really played sevens? I don't really think of him as a sevens player.
I don't know, actually.
No, sorry, I was thinking Carlin Niles.
Carlin Niles and Perry Baker, who are unbelievably fast.
They are unbelievably fast.
Yeah. So fast that if they were in any other nation other than the USA, or possibly Jamaica, they would be sprinting for their country.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Carlin Niles was like 10-2, 100 metres. But which put him in like the top 40 athletes in the US, but would have put him in the top 5 athletes in the UK.
Oh, there's a US NFL player.
Yes,
playing in the US national team.
Yeah. So what do you know about the curious case of Nate Ebner?
Nate Ebner is in the roster for the New England Patriots. His salary is $600,000 a year,
mm-hmm,
which means he's like a kind of, he's an average player.
That means what was his second year player? That's probably the very minimum that they can pay him. He's probably the lowest paid player on the team.
So he plays safety, he plays safety or, yeah. What's the other?
Well, my understanding is he plays special teams. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if he does play safety, because me and Phil have discussed this.
Yeah.
And Phil says that his highlight reel is all tackles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's the case, safety would make sense rather than, say, kick return or something like that.
I know he is part of the special teams, but special teams is quite often where a lot of the fringe players who aren't quite in the first
Who aren't very special play.
Yeah, exactly.
Or are very special, depends on your definition of special, I guess.
I guess it does.
So safety is the position that is, well, he's defending against wide receivers. So you have to be quick, agile, good in the air, good hands, good awareness. So, but he played rugby before he went to NFL.
This is what I find incredible. So when he was 17, before he was at college, he played international rugby union as in the sevens.
Wow.
He played the proper sevens team, played the under-19s and under-20s junior world championships. He then went to college, Ohio State.
Cleaned up.
He started, he was playing rugby for 2 years and then was what's described as a walk-on player, which means he didn't get a scholarship, but was a walk-on player for the American football team and played one season of walk-on player and then somehow managed to get a pro contract through the Patriots.
He must just have incredible physical attributes. Because someone would have looked at him at a combine, and they're so all about the maths, aren't they, and the numbers.
Well, I doubt he'd even be invited to the combine.
That's what I find most curious, is that if you look at his stats, his combine times and his size, he doesn't seem like an anomaly. So he's 6 foot and 95 kg, mm-hmm. which is fairly average. Like,
but he plays that's probably about right.
Yeah, but he plays for the Patriots. And the thing about Patriots is, everyone that plays there has to have a certain level of intelligence, has to have a certain amount of coachability. So if you look back at who the Patriots have turned into superstars, well, Tom Brady, you know, was drafted in the sixth round or something ridiculous, 160 or something, or 120, something ridiculous anyway. So that's him. But if you look at all the people that surround him, this year he'll be surrounded by someone like Dion Lewis, who was basically come from nowhere. He's had Wes Welker, who was a second round pick.
Who was that? The running back, Danny Woodhead.
Woodhead's a classic one.
So the New York Jets cut him because he was too small to be a running back, and he wasn't making an impact. Patriots signed him on cheap money as a free agent, and he was starting running back one
Super
Bowl.
And now he's a star at I think he left before Super Bowl actually, but now he's a star at San Diego. The other one as well is, who's the little white receiver that they've got who came as a quarterback and now they've turned him into
Edelman.
Who can also play safety.
Yeah.
So actually, he sounds like exactly the sort of player the Patriots would go for because of his versatility.
Interesting.
So they've given him a sabbatical.
Yeah.
He'll go back in time for the start of the NFL season, but he's representing the USA at the Olympics, which is brilliant for the sport.
It's a talking point, isn't it?
A great talking point, a great way in for a lot of NFL fans.
Yeah.
To watch it.
Yeah. And the Olympics is obviously very accessible, biggest show on earth and all that stuff. Yeah. And there's a lot of like little marginal gains in terms of making rugby more accessible within the USA, like the Pro League, like the London Irish Saracens game.
Like the Pro 12 team, which we nearly discussed.
Pro 12 team, yeah, which we may discuss
at a later date. They think will be in Boston or New York if it happens.
Oh, interesting.
I think Boston,
because of the big Irish community, which is why it would make sense for the Pro 12. It'd be like
a shorter flight than, say, Los Angeles
and time zone.
I can't see it.
Or Hawaii.
There was an article and it was describing the television deals and that how if the Pro 12 don't do something quick, they're just going to get left further and further behind.
That is very true.
Because the top 14 TV deal is worth £75 million to the top 14 sides. The BT Sport Premiership deal is worth $48 million or something like that
per season. Yeah,
per season to the Premiership side.
So you look at their salary cap of $6.5 million, something like that.
Yeah,
it's most of it's already covered just by that before you take into account any other revenues.
The Pro 12 television deal is $11 million. So it's like less than a quarter of the
weirdly though, it sounds like they've got the value roughly right though.
Yeah,
it sounds like they've kind of got a market price for it.
But they need to go and find places where there's a financial benefit. So that's why they're looking at it seriously. It'd be good if something like that happened.
I do disagree.
That would be good.
Why not Germany though?
I mean,
they've not got any contact sports to compete against. You know, the Germans are naturally big people, as are the Dutch.
Well, they play stuff like handball and other sports.
So you've got like this pool of...
And ice hockey.
Right, so Germany... Okay, hear me out. This makes more sense. Shorter time to get there.
Yeah.
They've got no real competitive sports in terms of contact sports. The Germans love NFL, so there's definitely a taste for contact sport. They're naturally a big breed of people. That would probably make more sense, setting up a rugby team there, than going all the way to the USA. I think it's just a vanity thing, if anything.
Maybe. But there is already a big fan base in USA. In terms of, not as a percentage of the population, but in absolute terms, there is already a big rugby fan base.
Yeah, but it's such a huge place. I mean, our second biggest listenership is USA.
Yeah.
But it's so vast. You probably only have a handful in Boston, a handful in Texas, a handful in California.
It's not necessarily about how many people they can get to each game. It's about how many people they can watch on TV. Yeah.
I bet they can't wait to watch the Dragons.
Well, because the Premiership have got a deal with NBC.
They have?
Yes.
So it's just the gap is getting worse and worse, and the Pro 12 need to do something, or it's just going to... Yeah.
How about player internationals? How about that? How about Philips Stadiums?
They are doing, they're playing their internationals more frequently because they have to, because they have to qualify for the European Champions Cup.
Yeah.
So that. No, sorry, have I mentioned I love Pro 12 now?
Do you?
Yeah, I have ever since I sent my CV off last week.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, no, Pro 12 is a great product.
Elsewhere in world rugby, one little thing of note this weekend, Zimbabwe lost to Uganda. Zimbabwe are effectively relegated from the Africa Cup. Zimbabwe were in the first Rugby World Cup and were a rising force in rugby.
Oh, what happened there then?
I wonder what happened there. It's just a really sad story for rugby. I mean, I know there's the lives of people and deaths and all the rest of it. It's far worse and puts it in perspective. But as for rugby, it's just a real shame.
For both. It's not an attractive story, is it?
No,
and actually the remnants of that Zimbabwe team that went to the World Cup is still around now. If you look at the Zimbabwe qualified players, you should be making up, you know, maybe a further first tier nation, and yet they can't, and it is sad.
Yeah.
Although if England get Ewers, it's going to be excellent.
Yeah. And elsewhere, a South African coming to the United Kingdom, Marcel Coetzee has changed his player biog on his Twitter account, and Derry Gasman, he's coming to Ulster, of course. Derry Gasman tweeted us at Rugby Podcast to say he's not even properly an Ulster player yet, but he already describes himself as proud. And if you look at Marcel Coetzee's Twitter account, it's one of those rugby cliches that Phil pointed out last year, that it's all the commentators always say proud Ulsterman. Well, Marcel Coetzee says proud Ulster and South Africa rugby player.
Oh, nice.
He's pride. Proud.
Who are you so proud.
Who's going to be more important, Peter Tau or Coetzee next year?
Is it Coetzee?
Coetzee. We're probably going to have more complaints from our Southern Hemisphere
GP fans.
Sorry about that.
I actually think when he's fit, because he did his cruise shirt last year or earlier this year, didn't he? I actually think Coetzee is possibly more important, purely because our back line is already stacked.
Yeah.
And we could do with some more big boys up front. So,
and especially with Jim Williams and all that, the amount of go forward he's given Ulster over the years.
Nick Williams. Who's gone
Jim Williams is a very different... Actually, he wasn't a very different player. He's very similar player.
Cardiff.
Yeah.
He will be more important, although I do think that Pierre Tau is a slightly better player all in.
I think PSL, you should be more excited about Coetzee. He's more important by a country mile.
Yeah, agree. And we could do with another couple of second rows, possibly a couple more props, just in terms of squad depth.
Well, talking rotation. Of squad depth, let's move on to looking at Bath and Leicester. So we're putting teams under the microscope a couple at a time, and the next on our list is the old rivals and two powerhouses of the English game in years gone by, Bath and Leicester.
So these two clubs have had comfortably the most players leave their squads.
Okay.
With only probably Newcastle who can compete in terms of sheer volume. So Bath, first of all, they've had a lot of players go. You could argue that there's not a huge number of players that are going to miss massively. Leroy Houston's gone, but they've got Faletau in. Rob Webber's gone, but they've got this young lad, Jack Walker, from Yorkshire Carnegie.
Oh, England under-20s hooker, captain.
England under-20s captain.
He looks so
Yorkshire
good.
Carnegie captain at 18.
Yeah, he's
that's
a
amazing.
Class
who's
player.
Still only 20, who is will be very interesting. Devoto and Eastman go in, creates a bit of a void, as we
mentioned earlier. But they get him a Moz, so that's all right. Oh, no.
That hasn't happened either.
Yeah. There's other players who've gone. Maffey, the other number eight, or one of the other number eights, Hooper obviously retired.
Yeah.
Dominic Day, another second row going.
But you've got Charteris coming
Charteris in. Coming in to replace those. So all round it feels you've lost quite a lot of players. You brought in some good players. The immediate weaknesses appear to be inside centre and quite obviously director of rugby.
But the weakness last year, I mean, was the shambolic nature of everything around the team and the mentality of the players, because amazing players were not performing.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
People were changing so dramatically from one season to the next that kind of beggared belief in some cases.
The scrum went from being one of the best in the Premiership and one of the best in Europe, and with the same guys, went to a real weak point for them.
Well, guys, if you listen to the Rugby Dungeon this week, I had David Flatman on, so we've actually got into Bath fairly in detail. One of the things he mentioned about the scrum is actually the absence of Nathan Katz, who you might get this from the interview, he rates a little bit highly.
He does rate him quite highly.
But Bath were dominating without Nathan
Katz. Yeah, they were. He's been off the scene for two seasons.
It was Davy Wilson and Paul James, and then it was Nick Orterak and Henry Thomas. They were all dominating.
One of the other things that they mentioned is everyone's talking about Burgess leaving and the impact that had on the club. No one mentioned the impact that Paul James leaving had on the club.
That's true.
Which is a very fair point.
Yeah.
I think Bath are due for another season like they had last year.
It's
going
to be a fallow year, I think.
I completely agree with you. But the noises coming out of the camp suggest they are really enjoying pre-season. They're working extremely hard. But isn't everyone enjoying pre-season? Isn't this the time of year when everybody's fit and you look at your squad and you think, we can do something this year because everyone's fit?
Yeah.
So
Tom Coventry was arriving at London Irish and thinking we're going to get him to play a super rugby style of rugby, and oh, it's great. These
top
guys are going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
And what's Tom Coventry doing now? Has he gone back to New Zealand?
Presumably. Unknown.
Unknown.
Poor Tom. I think it's a good point. Looking at their squad, they've got some real names and some real talent. It's how they bind together, because last season they had some real names and some real talent, but they just did not play as a team. They didn't play as a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is important, and one of the best signings of the summer, in my opinion, is Kaan Fotu'ali'i coming in.
Yeah, completely agree.
Because last season, so George Ford is a class operator. The problem he had last season, he was playing behind Matawalu.
We were really excited about Matawalu pre-season.
How wrong we were. God,
we're
so wrong so much that we were excited about Eastman going to the Sale. We're excited about Afoa and Hibbard scrimmaging together.
Yeah.
We're excited about
Ben Tao playing for England.
Yeah. yes, Matawalu and George Ford was one of our many mistakes, because that was a horrendous car crash of a combination. But
yeah,
Fotu'ali'i is a very smooth operator. He gets good ball when he needs to. He can have a go. He's strong as you like. Real intelligent scrum half. So that, I think, is very important.
But as we've identified, Dan Bowden coming in is a good option at 12, distributing 12. Kind of, he's got a kicking game, he's got a passing game.
No, he has all of those things.
I do agree with everything.
Because he can play 10,
he does
play
10. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. But Dan Bowden was a stopgap measure for the Six Nations. I mean, I don't think they ever considered him to be like their starting 12. And now
I think they let Devoto go or Eastman go because they thought they had Mamoz coming.
Okay, so
we don't know what's happening there.
Yes, so this is my conspiracy theory, probably completely wrong, but this is how I think it went. I think they bought in Priestland. Priestland then says, actually, you know what, thanks for the money, I'm going to go back to Wales anyway. screws up all their plans, so they had to bring in Bowden.
Yes, because he wasn't going to be playing for Wales, yeah. And then yeah. He changed his
so
mind.
So Bowden comes in on a king's ransom because they need someone ASAP to rescue the season, which was pointless anyway. Now they've got this huge contract for Bowden. They've got to make room for him because his contract is longer than both Eastman and Devoto's. So they've had to offload those two boys, who I think they would like to have kept in order to sort out the mess.
I think the Eastman one, yes, but I think Devoto went because he wasn't starting enough games, his contract was running out, and he had a good offer from Exeter.
Yeah, but I mean, without Bowden, you'd have thought they would have kept...
I think Devoto chose to leave. Eastman didn't choose to leave.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but from Bath's perspective, in terms of the academy credits that they get for Devoto, he's far more important than having someone like Bowden, because he'll be on less money, and you get the academy credits, so... looking back now, it looks like a terrible mistake to let him go.
Well, the mistake isn't Dan Bowden.
The
mistake is Reece Priestland.
And letting Devoto go.
Second-rate 10.
Because you've got Scott... Because also, there's Scott Hastings, who is looking like a reasonable... Not Scott Hastings.
Gavin, I was going to say.
Not Gavin Hastings.
What is his name?
Oh, who?
Hold on. While you're thinking about that one, let me just answer this. Hold on. Hello?
Adam Hastings is the chap.
Adam Hastings, yes, they've got him as a young up and coming 10. That's the sort of thing. Rather than Reece Priestland, you'd sort of think Adam Hastings. He's got a high.
Yeah, Reece Priestland apparently is on like double the money that Ford was on.
From what I've seen, they're both on the same money.
They're on the same
but
now.
Big
now.
Money.
Now. Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh. And cost per minute of Priestland is enormous.
Yeah. Just think about this. I mean, how much different would Bath be as a club? I mean, they're already stacked full of talent. But they never went down the Priestland route. I mean, it was a stupid signing to begin with. Everyone scratched their heads.
Yeah.
Like, why are they bringing this guy in?
Yeah.
And then he basically lies to them and goes back to Wales. Reece Priestland could be the reason Bath are terrible for the next 2-3 years.
Fair play to Priestland doing that. Like, I hate clubs trying to stop people from playing internationally. Like Census Johnson with Toulouse. Yeah.
But even more than that, as I've said before, I dislike players retiring internationally to continue playing. I understand why, but I just don't like the principle of it. I think it should be almost like a sort of form of national service. If your country needs you, you answer your country's call. But I understand why. Yeah. I do understand.
It's two sides of the same coin, though, isn't it? Which is, I mean, they signed him on a gentleman's agreement, and they knew they couldn't enforce it. They wanted to take a sabbatical, but they should have known. It's only like 40 miles away from Wales. It's not like they, they spirited him off to Queensland Reds.
Yeah,
it's just an absolute mess. So I think that's why they're stuck in the situation that they are.
Mm. Just one more point on the Bath squad, because we've talked about it for a long time. I actually think their back three looks weak, looks light.
Mm.
So Watson and Rokodaguni, two of the best back three players in the league. So Watson's going to be playing fullback, Rokodaguni on the wing. You've then got Banners.
He'll probably be a makeshift centre a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Certainly during the Six Nations and the Autumn Internationals, Banners will be playing outside centre, which means that you don't really have anyone behind that. I mean, Tom Homer comes in as kind of a reserve fullback.
Arscott's not there, is he? He's ex.
He's gone. One
Bristol.
Of the
Is that where he's gone?
Luke Arscott has gone back to Bristol's. Aguja has gone to Cast.
Yeah, they are a bit weak, aren't they?
But if you were a player, would you sign? If you didn't know who your boss was, you wouldn't sign.
No,
this is it. They've got to sort this out.
Yeah. Exactly. Who was making these signings in the first place?
Yes.
So real
Bath,
mess.
Are we all saying similar than last year? They finished ninth, eighth last year.
Well, logic would dictate yes, but as you keep saying, it's such a competitive league. I mean, and if they do get on top, they're not, are they? They just got so much talent. It's hard to write them off with that amount
that
of talent.
Much if they can get it together in time for the start of the season, they could be a real
force. I don't
think
they'll be top four, though.
I wouldn't say they would.
I think they could get a top six, potentially, but I'd be surprised. Just a bit of a mess.
Then Leicester.
Leicester.
So, again, they've lost quite a few players. Again, it doesn't feel like a huge number of top... like their first choice players. I mean, Nicky Gonover is a blow because he is class, but he's also getting on, and it feels like they've arguably got better value for losing him.
Mm-hmm.
Girardini going to Toulouse is interesting.
Yep.
But they've obviously got Thacker, they've got Youngs, and they've brought in George McGuigan,
from
young English player from Newcastle.
That's interesting with Thacker, and they've made Tom Youngs captain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not currently involved in the McGuigan one's looking again. Like, will McGuigan regret that retrospectively in a couple of
maybe,
years?
Maybe, but they've always carried quite a few hookers.
Yeah,
you know, they've had four on the books at some point.
That is one of the very interesting things about Leicester. They have got four because they've got Greg Bateman there, so they've got four hookers on their books. But their front row is absolutely stacked. Their second row and back row, not so much. So the front row, in terms of internationals, they've obviously got Youngs, they've got Ayerts, they've got Dankor, they've got Ellis Genge now, they've got Mulipola. They brought in Silliers from South Africa. So you've got multiple international props.
Is it not Pez? Rizzo still.
Rizzo's there, yeah.
Balmain?
Yeah.
Balmain's still there.
Oh,
who people rate Balmain.
Yeah, they really do. The people that I speak to regarding Leicester who watch them week in, week out, reckon Balmain is better than Brooks.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds ludicrous to us who just see him occasionally and see Brooks all the time and rate Brooks because he looks like a silverback gorilla. But that's what they say in Welford Road.
So the front row, they've got at least half a dozen full internationals. Their second row and back row, they've got two full internationals, one of whom is Tom Croft, who is arguably past it, too many injuries. And the other is Opeti Fanua.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
Now, they have got Ed Slater, who's been in and around the England squad, and they've got young-ish talented players like Barrow, like Kitchener.
How much money would you like to bet that they've got some young, up-and-coming eight up their sleeve from the academy?
It'll be interesting to see. Now, they brought in a guy called Luke Hamilton, who's a Welsh number eight, who played Wales under-20s, played for Cardiff Blues until 2 years ago when he went to Agen.
Oh, I know the guy, yeah.
24-year-old, and they've brought him in as their, possibly their first-choice number eight.
This is starting to seem like salary cap strategy, isn't it?
Let's
massive marquee, huge money front row.
Yeah,
squeeze value out. Decent second row. Let's squeeze value as much as we can out of back row.
Well, think about back row.
Second row is they're getting value out of it because they're virtually all English. Kitchener, Slater, Wells have all come through the academy.
Ditching Parling, getting in Barrow. That looks like a pretty good trade.
You could argue that second row, you probably get more value for money from the younger lads.
Yeah, because I suppose the skill set of the second row, it's basically work hard and be tall.
Make your tackles, hit your rucks, catch your lineouts.
But the skill set of the front row is so rare. I mean, if you just walk down the street, you might be able to find a couple of people who might be able, with a lot of physical gym work, to be in a second row. But a prop has to be naturally that sort of shape anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're so hard to find. So it's very smart by Leicester, I feel.
And then their backs. Now, they have got... We spoke about Wasps for exciting backlines. They have got one of the most exciting backlines in the Premiership, in my mind. So you could have this backline. So Lyon, Youngs, then Freddie Byrne, England international, Matt Tamua, inside centre, Australian international.
Matt Tamua!
Manitou Ilagi. Then the wingers of Peter Beetham, who's playing 13 a lot last year because of Tuilagi's injuries. Talusa Vianu, who was one of the best signings last year, comfortably. And then Tate at fullback. And that's without mentioning World Cup winner JP Peterson, who comes in. And one of your favourites, Owen Williams, as an option at fly half.
Exactly.
And Tom Brady, who's going in from Sale.
Yeah. My absolute favourite, another Rugby Dungeon regular.
Regular.
Going to come on again.
He's a good lad, Tom Brady. He's
Silver
a very good
Fox.
Lad. Yeah, he's a very, very good lad. So all in for Leicester. I'm feeling a lot more positive than I am with the Bath squad. So I think they've got a well-balanced pack, particularly when you consider the salary cap. They've got a hell of a back line.
And they're bringing people into an already set up structure.
Yes.
That's the important part.
One of the best signings last year, besides Talusa Vianu, was Aaron Major.
Yes.
In terms of coaching, because the way that their backs played last year was superb. Was unlike Leicester I've seen for a long time. So Leicester, I'm a lot more optimistic, and I think they'll be top four next year, and I think they'll be challenging for the title. Yeah, I think they'll be challenging for the title.
If I could offload Owen Williams and Freddie Burns and get in Sippers or Ford or someone who just
oh, I
has
think
who has another level in them.
Do you know what? I think you're mistaken there. I'll tell you why. Because I think if you're talking about someone with another level, it's probably Burns. I think Burns has got that extra something to be better than both of them. I'm not saying he will be, but when he has one of his good games, he's upset.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Back in the last season, Burns got some real form together.
Well, remember, this is the guy everyone thought would be the England number 10. Since he was 18?
That's what people said about Shane Geraghty.
Yeah, Ryan Lamb.
Yeah.
And Ryan Lamb.
Both solid points.
I don't want a maverick. I want a week in, week out. Even Jimmy Gopeth would be a good signing for Leicester.
Like, how good... do you think any of the other English 10s would have been as good as Burns when he went down to New Zealand and played for England and did very, very well there?
He did play well in a couple of tests.
Well for a few weeks at the end of the season. He played well for a couple of tests. I don't doubt he has it in him, but this is you don't win trophies.
No, but if they want the steadier 10, they've also got Owen Williams. But I see what you're saying. I mean, who is the steadiest 10? I mean, the only guy who would really say would definitely be a week in, week out improvement is Owen Farrell. I don't reckon the other guys you mentioned would be that much of an improvement.
Yeah, steady 10, someone like Myler, but I don't see him necessarily as being an improvement.
No,
I'd have Burns ahead of Myler in the England rankings.
Yeah. Toby Flood?
Although I would have Sippers probably ahead of both of them.
Mm. When Toby Flood's going to come back to England? It must be next year.
Yeah. Come back as a rejuvenated outside centre, which was what he was playing a little bit last year for Toulouse.
Get those ears back over to the UK, Tobes. Come on.
I don't have a problem with Freddie Burns as a fly half. I think he's... You're right. He's not consistently showed what he can do. But as he gets a little bit older, perhaps we'll start to see it. Because don't forget, he's, 3-4 years younger than Sippers?
Yeah, fair enough.
And so maybe we'll start to see it.
Yeah.
Right, boys, that's 1 hour, 24 minutes.
Oh, that's God. A marathon pod.
It's good. There's not even any rugby on.
You lucky, lucky, lucky people. Now, I reckon we should do, we should find out. I like the idea of just finding out who diehard fans are who listen to the very end. So let's just try it on this.
Mate, absolutely.
Like a code word. If you tweet us at Rugby Podcast with a code word, you're in a special elite.
What's that code word? I can never say it. LTBP community. Hashtag LTBT.
We've mentioned that at other point. We've already had quite a few hashtag LTBPs.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is. You can join the LTBP community.
Did you see Complete Toffees?
Complete Toffees.
Let the boy play flagpole after we were discussing it last week.
Windsock.
It was a win.
let the boys play. I've not seen that. Windsock.
That's absolutely
say it loud, say it proud, let the boys play. Hashtag LTBP. And it's a rainbow windsock.
That isn't rainbow.
Well, it's not quite rainbow. It's a...
It's just got all the colours of the Premiership.
It's multicoloured hoops.
It's inclusive. That's what it is.
It is inclusive.
I don't know. Nothing to do with Ellis Genge. That'd be too... Definitely not.
Hashtag LTBP. And then we'll get you into the LTBP community, which is going to be whatever it's going to be.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
LTBP. I was trying to think of your Tinder thing.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time.
All right, if you tweet LTBP Genge, we know that you've listened to the very, very end. LTBP Genge.
You're 126 minutes in if you tweet us that.
At Rugby Podcast, and that will be a signal to us that you are one of the true diehards. You don't miss a beat, and you listen to the very end. Thank you very much for listening. At Rugby Podcast, where you can find us on Twitter. Leave a review on iTunes. Good work, Philip.
Thank you, Tim.
Good work, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.